I'm going to preach on something dear to our hearts this morning, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm going to jump right into this in chapter number 22 of Genesis. Just going to read one verse. Where Abraham took Isaac up on Mount Moriah. God told him to take him up there to sacrifice his only son. And Abraham was an old man. He knew he wasn't going to have no more. This was the only one. It was the promised seed. And the Bible said, they got up there on the mountain, and let's see. Look at verse number 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the lamb? And the Bible said there in verse number 8, And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. He said, My son, God will provide himself. Or did he say God will provide himself a lamb? And if you read a little further into the story, you see that God did that very thing. And over in John chapter number 1, I'll show you another verse of Scripture about the lamb. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. There was a man that was out there preaching on the banks of Jordan, and his name was John. And the Bible said, verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Amen.
I'll talk about this for a few minutes this morning. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Now, the Lord Jesus is called many things in the Bible. He's called, I'm not going to give you all of them. It'd take me the rest of the day to tell you all the names and titles of our Savior. But the Bible calls him Adam and the Advocate, the Almighty, the Alpha and Omega. Arm of the Lord, the author and finisher of our faith. He's called the beloved Son, the branch, the bread of life, captain of our salvation. He's called the chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5. Luke calls him the Christ of God and the consolation of Israel. Ephesians calls him the cornerstone. Isaiah said he's a counselor. John said he's a creator. And the Bible says he's a dayspring and a deliverer and a desire of all nations. He's the door to heaven. He's the elect of God. Bible said he's the everlasting Father and the faithful witness. He's called the first and the last and the first begotten of the dead. He's called the forerunner. I like this one. He's called friend. He's called friend of sinners. Amen. He's called the glory of the Lord. He's called God, the gift of God, God blessed, the good shepherd, governor, great high priest, greater than Jonah, greater than Solomon. He's called the head of the church, the holy child, the heir, the holy one of God, the Holy One of Israel, the Horn of Israel. Amen. Yeah, Jesus himself said, I'm the living water. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I am from above. He said, I'm the door. Amen. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the Son of God. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I mean, brother, you can just keep talking about him all day long and never get it all told. The Bible said he's the image of God, and Emmanuel, Isaiah called him. Jehovah, Judge of Israel, Just One, King of the ages, King of the Jews, King of kings, Lord of lords, Lawgiver. He's the life, the light of the world, living water, the light of the tribe of Judah, the Lord of all, Lord of glory, Lord of lords, Master, Man of sorrows, the Mediator, the Messenger of the Covenant, the Messiah, the Mighty God, the Morning Star, the Nazarene, the only begotten Son. Like an old black preacher said, that's my King. I like that, don't you? Amen? He's our Passover, our Prince of Kings, our Prince of Life, our Prince of Peace. He's our great Physician. He's the Prophet, the Rabbi, the Redeemer, the Resurrection, and the Life, the Rock, the Root of David, and the Rose of Sharon. He's the Savior of the world, the Seed of Woman. He's the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls. He's the Son of the Blessed, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham, the Son of God, and the Son of Man. He's the Son of the Highest and the Sower. He's the Son of Righteousness, the Stumbling Stone, the True Light, the True Vine, the Truth, the Witness, the Word of God. But the one I want to talk about this morning is the most precious title that's given to our Lord in the Word of God, in my opinion, and that is Lamb of God. Oh, brother, what a title. He is the Lamb of God. Why does the Bible call him the Lamb of God? Listen, the characteristics of a lamb are this. A lamb is the most harmless creature that there is. He has no defenses. I mean, he's just completely harmless. A lamb is humble. A lamb is the humblest, meekest creature that you'll ever see. A lamb is helpless. Amen. A lamb cannot help itself. But I want to tell you, the lamb is holy. Brother, I want to tell you something. The Lamb of God, he is the greatest of the great, the highest of the highest, the heaviest of all heavyweights. There's no way you can describe him. God, the Bible said there in Genesis that he provided himself a lamb. I want you to take notice of something this morning in Genesis chapter 22. The first time the lamb is mentioned, a lamb being sacrificed, is in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 22. And in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, is the last time the lamb's mentioned. And it talks about him being sacrificed for mine and your sin. Well, if that don't make you shout, you're helpless. There ain't no shout in you. There ain't nothing going to make you shout. Well, if that don't do it, nothing will. Thank God, behold the lamb. Brother, that word behold simply means to look at or gaze upon or fix your eyes upon something. I want to say, first of all, God, Abraham told Isaac, he said, God will provide himself a lamb. And a couple of verses later, Abraham's getting ready to kill his son. He heard something. An angel of the Lord said, Abraham, don't do it. And he looked around and he saw that ram caught in a thicket. You say, preacher, that's not a lamb, that's a ram. What in the world? He said, God will provide himself a lamb. What is a ram? It's the father of a lamb. Amen. God himself, amen, put him in that position where he'd be sacrificed. I want you to know something this morning. I want to thank God for the Lamb of God and what he means to me. First of all, I want to say God provided a lamb for a man. Over in the book of Genesis chapter 4, you know the story. You've heard me preach on it. You've read about it. In Genesis chapter 4, we read where Adam and Eve sinned. They fell. They fell in Genesis chapter 3. And God came along and began to speak to them. And God pronounced death upon them. And the sin curse came on them that day. And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 4. But before I get to that, let me tell you this. Adam and Eve, they sinned. They took of that fruit they wasn't supposed to. And when God came down to fellowship with them, he couldn't. God couldn't fellowship with them because they had sinned. And they took some fig leaves and made them some clothes. And they covered up their nakedness. Before that, they was running around naked and didn't know it. You know why they didn't know it? They was innocent. Take two babies, put them in the bathtub together naked. They don't know nothing. Amen. There's no guilt there. And the Bible said that God, he went there and he began to talk to Adam. And he said, what have you done? And Adam said, Lord, he said, that woman you gave me, I knew she was going to cause trouble. And look what she's got us into. And God spoke to Adam and he put the curse on him. He told him he's going to have to live off the land. That's what man's been doing ever since. And brother, listen, he told Eve that her she's going to have continual sorrow and childbearing, and that her desire to meet her husband, and he cursed the serpent, and that's where the prophecy of the Messiah came in. But on over there, if you'll notice, in chapter number 4, verse 4, the Bible said God made them coats of skins. God made them coats, you hear me? They made some clothes, but God made them coats of skins. Here's what I believe happened, brother. I mean, brother, it's as clear as day. God went out there in the garden, and he found a little old lamb walking around, and he called it to him, and it came to him. And brother, the judgment of God cut that lamb's throat, and he bled out there in the garden, and God took that skin off of that. God didn't shear a sheep because that wouldn't have cost nothing, because that wool didn't cost a life. But there's a little lamb out there in the Garden of Eden that had to shed its blood because Adam and Eve had failed and disobeyed God. There's a lamb for a man. Man tried to take care of sin problem by sowing leaves together. That's works. Anything you try to add to grace is the same thing Adam and Eve did and the same thing Cain tried to do. You can't add nothing to it, people. Get that through your head. You can't. You're saved. It's plus nothing and minus nothing. It's all grace. It's all on him. Salvation is of the Lord. God sent Jesus Christ to die in your stead because you couldn't do it on your own. Religion is man trying to do something to appease God. But salvation through the blood of the Lamb is God doing for man what man can never do for himself. Amen. They were trying to cover up their sins, and God had to kill. Do you realize the first blood that was ever shed on this planet wasn't when Cain killed Abel? It was when God Himself killed a little lamb out there in that garden. That's the first blood that was ever shed on this earth, and it was because of sin. And it was an innocent lamb. Sin requires blood. Man needed something to get him back to fellowship with God. He fell and tried to fix it, but he could not. God made provision for man's sin. It wasn't the wool that clothed them, but brother, it was that skin which required death. Titus 3:5 said this, not by works of righteousness, Paul said, which we have done, not by our works that we've done. Can I get you to understand that? Not by righteousness, not by works, not by any good deed that we could possibly do, but according to His mercy has He saved us. Now, the reason you're sitting here this morning saved and washed in the blood, got your name in heaven, is because a lamb was shed His blood and died for your sin. People are spending their lives making their own clothes. People run around doing all kind of works, doing good deeds. Same thing Adam and Eve did. Oh, goodness, honey, we've sinned. Get some in fig leaves. You got any thread? Yes, I got a needle over here, and I'll put something together. I'll try to fix it. You can't fix it! You can't fix it! You're a sinner, and you're going to hell, and you can't fix that problem, bud. It's out of your hands. You hear this little preacher this morning, you're sitting here listening or listening on the radio, you think you've got this thing figured out. The Bible said the way of man's right in his own eyes, but the God ponders the heart. Brother, I want you to know you're going to have to be saved, and the only way you can be saved, it has nothing to do with you whatsoever. If this church writes me a check, and they do every week, thank God, when I take it to the bank, it really don't have nothing to do with me. Well, it does have to do with who signed it, who filled it out, and the money's in the bank waiting on that check to go through. It ain't because I'm a nice guy. They don't come to the window and say, there's that good-looking preacher. Well, they probably do, but I mean, that ain't why they cash it. They cash it because they look on that account, and on that account it says, the money's here, pay the man. That's the way salvation is. Oh, brother, if we can understand that, hey, brother, put a little shout in. If we realize that we're saved, we're saved, we're saved by the Lamb of God. Little lamb in the garden was walking around not knowing he was going to die. Jesus came here knowing full well he was going to die. The lamb in the Garden of Eden gave himself for the sins of man. The lamb in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke chapter 20, gave himself for the sins of man. In Genesis, the lamb was innocent. In Matthew chapter 27, the lamb was innocent. I want you to know the lamb in Genesis was harmless. The lamb in the New Testament was harmless. He didn't come to harm but to bring salvation full and free. The lamb in Genesis submitted to God. That lamb didn't run from God. God didn't have to lasso it. It walked right up to Him, and God killed it out there in the garden, because a man and a woman that was over there in sin, had God not killed them, they'd have lived in eternal death from now on. Glory to God. Adam and Eve, listen to this. Adam and Eve had no idea that something was going to have to die because of what they did. They had no idea there's a little lamb skipping around out there in the forest was going to die for them. Romans 5:8 says, but God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You ain't saved because you're a good catch. You ever just understand this? You ain't saved because you're a good man or a good woman. There's none good. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that doeth righteousness. No, not one. We're all sinners. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. A lamb for a man. Number two, we see a lamb for a family. In Exodus chapter 12. Children of Israel was in bondage down there for 400 years, over 400 years, and they prayed and they cried. And finally, God sent Moses down there, and you know the story. All them plagues came through, and all the lice and the flies and the frogs and the darkness and the water turning into blood and all those plagues about. But I want to tell you something, brother. God told Moses and them, every time a plague came down, Pharaoh, get religion, you know. He said, I'm repenting of my sin. He said, get rid of these flies, get rid of them. He said, okay, Moses, I'll let them go. And Moses would go back and he said, God, he said, Lord, he said, I want to let you know Pharaoh got saved. And God's like, well, I ain't heard nothing about that. But anyway, what you need? He said, get rid of them flies. God got rid of the flies. Guess what? Pharaoh didn't get saved. And the frogs came, same thing. And the darkness came, same thing, over and over. Nothing delivered the children of Israel out of the hands of that brutal dictator there in Egypt. until one night God said, go out and find a little lamb without spot, without blemish, and kill it, and strike the doorpost and the lintels, and it'll be for your family. And he said, the death angel's going to come through Egypt and going to smite the firstborn in every house. And I mean, he said, it don't matter if you're Egyptian, Israelite, or whatever. He said, the death angel's coming through. And he said, the only thing that's going to spare you, he said, when I pass over, if I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Oh, brother, listen, there's people crying and screaming and wailing throughout Egypt that night. Oh, but brother, those people had the blood applied. Oh, brother, it made all the difference in the world. I want to tell you, not only is there a lamb for a man, but there's a lamb for a family. Listen, brother, that Philippian jailer in chapter number 16 of the book of Acts, brother, he got saved, went home, and told his wife and his kids, and they got saved. I want to tell you something, mom and daddy, you better get right and stay right if you want them kids to turn out right. It's a sorry man won't go to church with his kids. I'll say it while I'm preaching, and I'll say it to your eyeballs. You're a sorry, you ain't much of a man if you won't go to church. Man won't go to church and make his kids go to church. A man that'll send them and won't go himself ain't much of a man, brother. That's right. You can get mad if you want to. I don't care. The truth is the truth. Listen, brother, statistics prove that if a man gets right with God and goes to church, that's like an 89% chance that the mama will follow and the kids will have to. Don't lay around the house and expect your kids to turn out right. Stay off drugs. Don't be fornicating. Don't be drinking. All that stuff. You're crazy. It won't work that way, brother. I don't know who that's for, but take your medicine, big boy. There'll be protection for your family. You know what's protected my family all these years, Brother Sam? It's been the blood of the Lamb, brother. I mean, I put my kids under the blood of the Lamb of God. I said, God protect them. I said, well, I've done to every one of my kids. I mean, a lot of people don't. Some people don't. Brother, my kids were just babies. I'd carry them up here to the altar and have a dedication service, lay them on the altar and say, God, you blessed me with this youngin', and you gave her to me, or you gave him to me. I'm giving him back to you, Lord. Protect him. God, keep your arms about him. Don't let him go astray. Don't let him get out of sin. Don't let him get on drugs. God, help me to be a good daddy. Lord, the football player's not a role model. I'm his role model. Let me be a good father. Help me to be a good husband. And I put my family underneath the shed blood of Calvary. And God has kept us together. Amen. There'll be protection for your family. There'll be provision for your family. God said when the death angel comes through, y'all be took care of. There'll be purpose for your family. There'll be peace in your family. If you give your family a house, money, material things, security, education, culture without giving the Lord Jesus Christ, you failed them as a father and a mother. You want to be a failure someday? You want to look back and cry? You want to sit in the nursing home and cry your eyes out? Listen, you just failed to take them to church. You mark my words, brother. This little preacher knows what he's talking about. Brother, you keep your family out of the house of God, and you don't keep them under the Lamb of God and His protection and provision, and brother, you're going to pay the reaper down the road. I know that's hard preaching, but I like it. Earliest memories of your kids should not be sports figures or actors or entertainers, but stories and precepts of the Bible. I know when I was a real little tiny feller, I'm just going to slow down here and preach for a minute. I was a little bitty feller. Mom and Daddy put me in bed at night. They didn't tell me about Twinkle Toes and Tinkerbell and all that stuff. Daddy sat on the edge of the bed and said, you want me to tell you a story? I said, yeah, tell me. He said, this man one time, God told him to go preach to these heathens, and he wouldn't do it. He went and got on a boat, and all of a sudden there's a big storm. My eyes were getting that big. I wasn't going to sleep. I opened up to me and said, here's this big storm coming. There's a big old whale come up, blowing out of its blowhole. By that time, my brother and sister would be coming out of their beds, creeping in there in the hallway, trying to fight. And they'd hear the story every night, you know. I mean, he'd talk about David and Goliath, all them stories. But I like that about that fish swallowing that man in the bed. That's my favorite. Daddy, wanna, tell him, okay, I'll tell you, just settle down. And then go in and tell that story. You know what, Brother Sam? I'm 54 years old almost, and I still remember my daddy sitting on the edge of my bed and my eyeballs bulging out. I mean, him hearing him tell about Jonah getting swallowed by a whale. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying fooey on the world, on sports and entertainment and all that bunch of junk. Brother, you better saturate your family under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with entertaining yourself and having some fun or playing a ball game. I'm not saying that. Don't misinterpret what I'm telling you. But if you send your kids to yell, if you never send them to Yale or Harvard or Princeton, take them to Sunday school. Amen. Y'all ever seen that guy on the news in the mornings? The weather guy, I forget his name off the top of my head. They show that schmucker's jelly. And they show about five or six old people over 100 years old. And almost all the time he'll say, here's so-and-so from so-and-so, Ohio. She is 104 years old today and credits her longevity with healthy living and going to Sunday school. Almost every time he'll say, she's been a faithful church member at so-and-so Baptist church. I believe he's a Christian because he crams that in there every time. Hey, brother, listen, he don't never say, and here is a man that's 103 years old and he's got that all from smoking dope and popping pills and drinking liquor and chasing floozy women. He never says that. Brother, it always goes back to putting your family under the blood. Listen, that's what they were doing over that doorpost. Moses said, God, I'm putting the blood up here, and I trust you. I got babies in here. We got family. God, don't let nothing happen to them. God said, I'll take care of them. If you can't afford to send them to an Ivy League school, take them to church. You can do that. If you can't afford designer clothes, clothe them with the gospel. If you never see their name up in lights, make sure their name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. If they never know anything about the great literary people that men count as greatness, make sure they know the Bible. Make sure they know a little bit about the Word of God. Nobody knows everything, but thank God I'm glad my kids, brother. Listen, I don't mean to brag on my kids. I hardly ever say anything about them, but I'm glad they've heard the Bible their whole life. I'm glad they know what real preaching is. I'm glad somebody gets something, starts quoting the Bible, and if it's out of one of them fairy tale Bibles, they can pick it up just like that. When there's little, they do that. They say, Dad, that ain't a real Bible, is it? Nope. Sure ain't. That's good, ain't it? That's good stuff. Amen. A lamb for a man, a lamb for a family. But number three, in the same chapter, we see a lamb for a nation. Not only was he a lamb for us individual, but not only a lamb for a family, but he's a lamb for a whole nation of people. In Exodus 12:14, God told him, he said, and you'll do this as a memorial, and this will be a day of atonement. You'll remember this day for years and years and years and centuries, and the Jewish people to this day still celebrate the Passover. They celebrate that day that Moses had done to God's people. And now listen to me. How weird do you think that sounded? And look, you think what we're doing is odd, and people think we're crazy. Hey, man, do you imagine putting blood all over your door right before bedtime? What's them Jews doing? I don't know half of them's out there, but they're killing baby sheep out there and putting blood all over the door. Them fanatics will do anything to draw a crowd. Them preachers ain't no tell what they're going to have them doing. They need a rock band down there and a dance troupe and everything. And their church would start growing. Oh, but Daddy, they said it to death. They said, oh, you don't believe all that fairy tale stuff, do you? Guess what? It wasn't a fairy tale. Jesus said in Matthew 15:24, a lamb for a nation. That's what made. Listen, God promised Abraham. Abraham received the covenant with God. Salvation is of the Jews, and God had made that day of atonement for his people. But guess what? There's something greater than that for me and you. You and I are adopted in. We're not Jews by nature or by the flesh, but thank God we've been grafted in. We're adopted, and we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Thank God we're going to get to go to heaven one day after a while, because there was a lamb for a whole nation. I want to tell you something, brother. I'll tell you what's wrong with America. America has backslid and full of sin. But there's still a lamb for a nation. I still believe. I love this country. I wouldn't want to go nowhere else. I hate what America's doing. But I'm still American. I still like seeing a flag flying. I still like hearing a Star Spangled Banner. Kind of gives you chills, don't it? Be in a ball game and hear it. Make you stand up, man. If it don't make you want to stand up and do like this, you're a communist or something. You'll be run off. There's something about that. I mean, brother, stand up for those that made it possible. But listen, I know America has backslid and waddling and reeling and rocking and rolling in sin. But I'll tell you, I still believe that there's a lamb for a nation. And if America would repent and turn back to God, God would turn his wrath away from this nation. But it's going to take the lamb, brother. It ain't going to take. It ain't going to be politics. Politics ain't going to do it. It's going to take the Lamb of God. Put him in his proper place. Not just in a few church houses, but I mean back in the schools and back in folks' homes and back in our government. The signers of the framers of the Constitution and the signers of the Declaration of Independence, most of them were Christian, godly, Bible-believing men. But, brother, we're so far removed from that that we're worried about offending everybody. We're worried about offending the atheists. We're worried about offending the homosexuals. We're worried about offending this one and offending that one. Brother, I say go back to our roots, and I mean put this nation under the shed blood of Calvary and plead the blood of Jesus and beg for mercy, and God will stay His judgment. I do believe that. He's a God of mercy. And the last thing I want to mention is, not only is a lamb for a man and for a family and for a nation, but he's a lamb for the world. Not just for me. That's what's so good about Brother Sam. Don't you hate when you're witnessing somebody and you can feel they're this close, but they act like they think it's just for us. Like we never did sin. They look at us, and we're dressed up, we go to church, and they look at y'all cleaned up, and they say, yeah, that's all right for you because you're a Christian. They don't know what a dope head I was.
Amen.
I'm an alcoholic. What a pervert and a wicked, ungodly, vile, nasty, filthy sinner. They don't know. They don't understand that. They don't understand that the people that are well don't need a doctor. It's sick people that need a doctor. He said, I came to call sinners to repentance. He didn't come to help people that were already right. Brother, as far as man's concerned, He came to save lost and dying sinners.
Amen.
I'm glad He'll save them, whether it's in Hazelhurst or Baxley or Vidalia or Savannah, or if it's in Georgia or Florida or Ohio or in another country, in another part of the world. There's a lamb for the world because John saw Him there on the banks of Jordan. We read a while ago in John chapter 1. He's looked up and saw Him coming down the side of the river there. And brother, listen, the Bible referred to that lamb in Genesis 22. And the first time we ever see the Lamb of God spoken of again is when John sees Him come walking up. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, not the Lamb of man. He is a prophesied lamb. We read about in Genesis 22. He's a personified lamb in Isaiah 53. He's the identified lamb that John identified in John 1. He's the crucified lamb in Matthew 27. And He's a glorified lamb in Revelation chapter 5. The reason John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, is because man can't take them away. Man's been making a feeble effort for thousands and thousands of years, and they're still doing it today and can't do it.
Amen.
We talked about it in Sunday school. You ain't nothing you can do about your sins.
Amen.
What can we do, preacher? Cast it into the blood, that's all.
Amen.
And you can be saved. Do you know that a serial killer, somebody just kills, say, 100 people? Just, you take, like Saddam Hussein. If the Holy Spirit convicted him and he repented, God would save him just like that. Right, that's grace. You say, well, he don't deserve it. Neither did you.
Right.
Yeah, but I didn't kill a bunch of people. So what? You're still a sinner. Without the shed blood of Calvary, you can't regenerate yourself. You can't change yourself. You can't evolve and turn yourself. You can't turn over a new leaf and make a new person. You can't do it. You've got to be born again. That inward change we was talking about earlier this morning. Men's been trying to do that. John said he wasn't worthy to loose his shoes because even though John was the greatest preacher to ever live, he could not save one single soul. Let's save the world, preacher. Let's save the whale. What good saving the whale is going to do us? We die, we're going to hell. What good is that going to do? Let's save the endangered frog. Okay, we save the endangered frog. We die, we go to hell.
Yeah.
Preacher, let's do penance. Okay, we'll do penance our whole life. Guess what? When you die, you go to hell.
Yeah.
Preacher, you live a grim... Yeah, but I'm going to get to the good part. The wages of sin is death. Right? Listen to this. If you could today leave out of this building and never commit another sin the rest of your life till you died, which is impossible. You can't do it. But if you could, what about all them sins before today? What you going to do about them? You got to face God for them.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, I ain't done nothing all that bad. Maybe in your eyes you think you ain't been that bad. But in His eyes, you are a sinner.
Yeah.
The sin you commit is just a product of what you are. If people would ever understand that, Brother Sam, I've been trying to get that through people's noggin for over 30 years trying to get people to understand. You're not going to hell because you drink or smoke or take drugs. That ain't why you're going to hell. You're going to hell because you're a sinner. You smoke, drink, take drugs because of what you are.
Amen.
You don't go somewhere because of what you did. You go somewhere because of what you are.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
In Genesis, we see him pictured it.
Amen.
We see him pictured it. In John 1, we see him in person. Ronnie, come on the piano. In Genesis, we see him beginning a blood sacrifice. But in John, we see him finished. That's why Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. What God started in the Garden of Eden, Jesus completed. Not only did he mean he completed something, but he meant it's paid in full. There's a sin debt on you, mister. There's a sin debt on you that you can't get off. You can wash and scrub, and you can't get it off because it's inside of you. You can't. In Genesis, we see the Lamb is the only way for man's sins. In John, we see him as the only way for man's sin. There's no hope in the Pope. Religion's a weak effort. Works is an insult. Anything added to the shed blood is heresy. I believe that. If you say, I know God saved me, but I'm going to do blah, 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 you just slap God in the face. You're saying, I know Jesus' blood was shed for me, and I'm saved, but I'm going to do this so I can get to heaven. You just spit in God's face. The only reason you're going to heaven is because of Him.
Amen.
You know the song the choir sings? You've heard me use this illustration. If you got the judgment, God got you by the neck, held you out over, the banister going to drop you off in hell to give me one reason why I shouldn't let you drop. You ain't got one answer. It ain't, brother, he's talking about reading his Bible. So what? God would look at him and say, so what? If Brother Heath, for example, said, Lord, I've read my Bible through this year already. Or if one of us said, Lord, I've read the Bible through 40 times, the Lord would say, what's your point? That's works. You read your Bible through because you want to. It's a blessing. You should do that. I'm not minimizing that. But that won't pay your debt, buddy boy. That won't pay your debt. You've got a huge debt on your head. And nobody, including you and your mom and daddy in this church, can handle it. Except Jesus. And the only answer you got is your hand hanging there dangling over the flames is pointing to the Lamb of God. It's got the... If you go home and read Revelation chapter 5, John said there was one on the throne had a book. And it was sealed with seven seals. And he said they searched heaven, find somebody worthy to loose it, and they couldn't find nobody. And he said he searched earth and couldn't find nobody. And searched under the earth. And John said he fell and wept. One of the elders laid his hand on him and said, weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. And when he raised up and looked, he said, I looked in the midst of the elders. This gives me chills every time I read it. He said, I saw, guess what he saw? A lamb as it had been slain. There stood the sinless, holy Son of God with nail scars in his hands. And as he stood there, what he was saying is, this is for Sam Kirkland. That's what he's saying. This is for Clint Carter. This is for Jeff Ellis. This is for Ted Hutchison. They ain't going to make it. But they can now. Why do you think the Bible said he put your name down in what? The Lamb's. The Lamb's Book of Life. Boy, that just hit me. That hit me last night real late. I was studying and praying, and it might not sound like it, but I put hours into that, working that sermon together. I got up this morning at 4 o'clock and studied for about 2.5 hours and just you know, trying to get it together. And the Lord just showed me that. It may not mean nothing to you, but when I saw that in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's His book. Brother Sam, it's His book. I'm in it. Your name's in His book. Because His blood was shed, you're in His book. It ain't just the book of life. It's the Lamb's book of life. And your name is recorded there. That's the Lamb for the whole world. Let's all stand tonight, this morning. Heads bowed just for a minute.